Let's get right into our fishing forecast for your weekend with Mr. Don Green on the Mobile Tensile Delta. Don, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
We're doing good, man. We're going to get a lot of rain this week, so what's going to happen to our delta, buddy?
Well, as far as the rain goes, both rivers are just a little bit above normal.
Yes.
And we got about maybe a foot more mean tide down here at Barry, but it's not hurting the fishing at all.
Yeah.
All the reports I've got today have been very good. Everything's back with this new moon. We got a new moon, having a new moon yesterday, and got a perigee tomorrow, so it doesn't matter whether it's salt water, fresh water, or anywhere about it. It's fishing, good fishing right now.
Well, that's good news for the weekend. If we can dodge the rain showers, we ought to be able to catch some fish.
Yeah. Well, talking about rain, that's really been a boon for your fresh water right now. When you're getting all that rain, your water temperatures are lower. We only got 80 degrees at Mary Park, 81 in Mobile River, so that's a little bit below normal for this time of year, which is good for the fishing.
It sure is. I was in McReynolds Lake just earlier this week, and I did notice the water was a little up, but it's still fairly clear.
Yeah. You got a good bit of clear water in the middle of the lower delta. But the upper delta and the rivers above, most of the creeks and bayous are muddy from the rain they've been getting up there. But they're catching fish. I talked to Mr. Jones, Mike Jones, at Bates Lake this morning, and he said that they're catching. He said a lot of boats were leaving early with limits of bass, bream, and crappie today. And he said that it's been that way all week. He said they've been tearing them up there. The upper delta, as far as over around the east side, they're catching a lot of fish over there, and the bass are not quite as good in the upper delta as it is in the lower delta and up the rivers. I think it's just a little bit less tide flow right now than we would like to have up in that area, but the fish are biting. As far as the crappie in the upper delta, you need to stay in the treetops. They're still in those treetops, especially with the willow flyhatch we've had this new moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything gets in there up under the trees. Catfish, bream, bass, all of them get up in there to feed on anything that's feeding on the willow fly. And it's been really good this week. And I haven't heard any reports from the lower and mid delta about the willow fly, but they're really doing good up north.
And how
lower delta, the bass are really tearing it up down here right now. The water's clear down here, and they're really on a tear. I hadn't gotten reports of any big fish being caught, but there's been a lot of them caught.
How's the water look up there around Hubbard's Tensile Lake area?
It's dingy. It's according to who says it now. Randy might say it's a little bit extra dingy, where I say, well, it's about right for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's according to how you look at it, but it is dingy.
Yeah. As long as it's not muddy, I'm okay.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
I like it.
When it really gets muddy, it the bite drops off regardless of what you're fishing for.
True. That's very true.
What about cloud cover, Don? Does that affect the bite much?
The cloud cover is great early in the summer, just like we've had lately. Cloud cover and rain is keeping that water temperature down. Usually by the 4th of July, it's the summer doldrums already, but this year it's not going to be. It doesn't look like it. It's going to hold out. You know, June is usually the best month of the year for everything being right to catch more fish and catch them at longer periods of time. And it's because of the way the moon's situated and the sunrise, sunset, at solar periods better. And this is usually the best month, especially the first part of the month, and it looks like it's proven out to be that way this year.
Sounds good. You mentioned the willow flies. Do those willow flies hatch around moon phases, or they just...
They sure do. You take a... The full moon is usually the best time for willow fly. But when you got a perigee on the new moon, like it is right now, the perigee is tomorrow, the new moon was yesterday, you will have them hatched out. And you got to remember, you got to be there right around that full or new moon because they only live a day or so. Yeah. So they hatch out, they mate, and then they dig it. You know, it just...
Yeah,
I don't know why the good Lord made it that way, but that's the way it is. Within three days of a new or full moon, they'll start, and within 3 days after, they're gone, except for dead ones.
Mm-hmm. And different areas hatch out at different times, it seems like.
That's right. In different areas. Now, you take the lower delta, you may have really big hatches earlier than you would on up into the river systems.
Okay. Well, I know it makes some good fly fishing for brim when you can knock those willow flies out of a tree and let them land on the water. The brim just go crazy.
Yeah, no other time than the willow fly hatch is a cricket and a popping bug any better.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, Don, I appreciate it, buddy. You take care.
Okay, you got to have a good day.
All righty. Let's check in with Mike Thompson about our upper Mobile Bay area, the Causeway. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing fine, guys.
Well, how's the redfish, man?
Oh, man, same old tune, different day. Lots and lots of redfish. A lot of small redfish being caught around the causeway and along the eastern shore. Doing a lot of red fishing in the Daphne Pylon area with live shrimp near the pylons themselves. You got to watch out. You know, there's some sheephead in there, too, and they'll snatch you right into the middle of those pylons, and you'll come back with a broken line, but that's part of fishing.
So this west wind hadn't messed up that eastern shore fishing, Mike?
Well, I mean, it's dirty to water up some, but the water's pretty salty on that eastern side. All the reefs over there are producing good specks, and they're producing some smaller white trout. But it's, you know, it's muddied up some, but it's not dead.
Yeah. Seems like every week I ask you about flounder, so I'm going to go ahead and ask you again.
Still a little slow. I mean, there was a little surge there a couple of weeks ago, but now it's kind of slowed down. One of our best flounder fishermen, Lee Minto, only caught one on a mission the other day, and if anybody knows how to catch him, it's him.
Yep.
And you know, what's happening now is kind of exciting for a lot of big white trout have shown up around Middle Bay Light. Mm-hmm. And there's also some real nice white trout around the section of the ship channel known as the T, where the Theodore Industrial Canal feeds into the main ship channel. And there's a marker out there, and you'll see boats clustered around there, and they catch this pretty nice white trout. The best bait has been cut mullet, man. You can go through some mullet out there. You know, your next best bait would be your squid, and it'll stay on the hook a lot longer than that mullet will. But they just love that mullet. There must be a spell or a flavor to it that they can't resist.
I don't know much about flounder fishing, but I'm going to Dolphin Island in the next day or two to try them late in the afternoon, and I'm hoping to get some tips off of Facebook or somewhere on a place to go down there to target flounder.
Well, I don't know about how many flounder are being caught. There's an occasional flounder or two being caught.
Mm-hmm.
But in the area near the Sand Island Spit and the old pier,
mm-hmm.
they've been guys wading out in the morning doing really well on speckled trout early in the morning. And also, they've been doing real good over around the airport. Now, those are both places known to hold flounder, so... Those are two places you might want to try.
Well, if all else fails, we may change our plans and go to the Theodore Industrial Canal. You can usually pick up some flounder there near the mouth of that.
Yeah, near the mouth of South Deer River, near the spool plant is a real good place. It's pretty much automatic on getting a few this time of year, and they're still catching a few specks in there, but it's not as hot charged as it was. Now, out on Gilliard Island, they're catching specks out there, live shrimp under a cork, and there's a few fish being caught on the Austell Bender Reef. Now, people are grubbing out there, catching a few on grubs.
I was going to tell you about the flounder. I like to throw those swimming minnow gulps for those.
Right. It's hard to beat the gulp baits. The only problem with the gulps is the smaller fish will bite the tail off, and when they bite that tail off, they're biting off a dollar.
I know.
That's the only bad thing about it.
That shrimp is croakers. A little tougher. And it,
but, you know, when you, hey, with a, either one of you two guys, that ain't going to hurt y'all. You open that wallet a little wider.
Yeah, come on now. Hey, how's the shrimp supply? Still good?
Man, they're excited. Plenty of shrimp. They're going to have lots of shrimp on the causeway for the Mystic Stripers Rodeo that's going to go on this weekend. So if you need shrimp and you're going to fish up that way, Larry said they're having good luck on the shrimp. And for those interested, the crabs are moving in. They're starting to catch a lot of crabs on hand lines and on hooking lines.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely interested in that. That's another thing I don't know how to do, but I want to learn.
Oh, that is summertime fun.
Yeah. Yep. I love to eat them. So, yeah, I want to go catch some crabs. I'm thinking about buying some crab traps, you know, and just setting them out somewhere, hiding them somewhere. I don't know. Is that safe to do, Mike?
Well, I don't know about the legality of that. I think you're allowed five, but yeah. I don't know exactly where you're allowed to set them. But I bought some crabs from a crabber, and I was kind of disappointed in the size, but I was not disappointed in the flavor. And you could tell that by the pile of shells on my table last night.
Absolutely. All right, Mike. Man, you have a great weekend.
Okay, guys.
We've got Captain Bobby Abriscotto with us, and he's going to give us a report on the inshore side of things down around Dauphin Island and our southern Mobile Bay. How you doing, Bobby?
Good afternoon, Big Al. How are you?
We're doing good.
All right. Well, that's good, man. I'll tell you what, I probably won't try not to cut you too short, but I'm getting ready to have to run for one of these nasty squalls that have been popping up all week long. And I'm telling you, I wanted to mention that before I forget anything else. This one that I'm getting ready to have to run from 10 minutes ago wasn't even on my phone. And now it's thundering and lightning and all that other fun stuff that you get on the water. So the reason I mentioned that is I just want to caution everybody, man. You got to really keep an eye on these things because they go from literally being nothing to something that'll really get you in trouble. So anyway, kind of keep that in mind this weekend because I think the forecast is giving it all the way through the weekend to have these things.
It's definitely that time of year, you know.
It is, man. It really is. Man, on the fishing front, though, it's been good. You know, we got through the end of last week and through the weekend with some really, really good weather, man. I think anybody that, I don't know if you've had any offshore reports, but, man, I'll tell you what, it was as calm as I've ever seen it on a weekend when the snapper season's open. I know the snapper guys had a blast. You know, of course, I picked that weekend to fish in the trout tournament and just dying to go snapper fishing. But fortunately, the trout bit pretty good, too. The last few days we've had, I mentioned to you, the biggest problem we've had is these squalls. And the wind's kind of clocked around where we've been dealing with these west winds. And the sound stays a little muddy when you get these west winds and this big bonzo tide that we're on now, the big moon tide, the new moon tide.
Mm-hmm.
It tends to muddy the sound up a little bit. So when I've been fishing in the sound, I've been getting up in the shallow water, and probably took my third or fourth trip of the year out in the bay this morning and did extremely well out there. And that's usually where I go when that wind comes around to the west because the water tends to stay pretty clear out there, even on big tides.
Are you fishing structure, Bobby, or birds?
Oh, yeah, deep structure, you know, and deep being anywhere from 8 to about 14 feet. You know, in the bay particularly, that'd be like things like rigs and, you know, and reefs and that kind of thing. You know, and those always fish good when you get a lot of tide because you can get out there with those slip corks and put some bait under them, shrimp. You know, I didn't use any croakers today, but croakers are working well. I didn't use any today. I used all shrimp and jigs. And, you know, but, yeah, that type of bite there, you know, and then when the tide starts to fall a little bit back down through the sound, it does clear up. But that, you know, the way the cycle's working out right now, that's a little bit later in the day.
I see. Well, I'm going to let you get off early so you can fire up that big Yamaha and get out of the way of that storm.
Matter of fact, I'll just get ready to tell you. That's all I got. I'm picking the fire up, guys.
Be careful out there, Bobby.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. You know, that is true, David. A storm can form out of nothing. You know, you can't rely on that radar on your phone all the time because they just can form this time of year out of nowhere, it seems like, and you can get in trouble really quick.
Right. That pop-up thunderstorm that we get during the heating of the day, during the middle of the day, yeah, can really cook it up in a hurry.
The worst time I've ever had on the water, my wife and I were out in Bonsecure Bay one night shrimping, and one of those storms just popped up out of nowhere. It was bad.
And at night, you don't see it coming.
We just felt the cold wind, and mm-hmm. oh, my goodness, it was a terrible night. But the next morning, we got up and watched the news, and, you know, a couple of people lost their lives out there that yep. night. So we were real fortunate to stay calm and get the boat headed in and do the right thing. But I think
and lightning, too, you know, is a big danger, you know, even for folks like me on the pier or the shore or something like that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be holding that graphite rod
nope.
with that lightning popping away.
That's true. All right, let's get a report from Miller's Ferry from our good buddy Joe Dunn. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, tell us about the crappie this week, buddy.
Oh, they're doing good. Well, like I said, I had a real good week last week. Mostly trolling. Trolling was pretty much the key.
Yeah.
There were several guys that caught some, you know, vertical jigging like we usually do along the creek channels along, you know, 10 to 12 foot of water, you know, with the a single jig. They was doing good doing that, too. The water's finally getting low, so and they're going to be cutting it on and off. And those things you kind of need to know about what time they're going to start pulling water and not, because it kind of gives you an idea of what you need to do. If they're not pulling water, that's when your trolling technique is definitely going to do better. And if you'd rather do the vertical jigging, you know, you need to wait till they're pulling the water, and then that's when the fish usually get a lot tighter to the cover.
Now, when you say you're trolling, let's make sure we're talking about the same thing. Are you spider rigging and pushing?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
I'm doing the pushing. I'm not long lining behind the boat, but I'm pushing, you know, either 6 to 8 poles out the front. And I'm using 16-foot poles, and this time of year right now along those channels, depending on the time of day, you know, I'm either fishing around 4 foot or 6 to 8 foot. You know, if it's a bright, sunny day, they may be down a little bit lower. When you got cloud cover, they'll ease on up closer to the top, you know, chasing the shad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm just easing along, and especially when they're not pulling water. When they're not pulling any water and it's calm, you know, Miller's Ferry, you know, it's like really two different lakes. You got like a river run lake when they're pulling water,
mm-hmm.
and then when they're not, it's just like a big lake, say like Grenada then, and mm-hmm. the fish will react to that, you know, different ways, you know, mm-hmm. when they are and when they're not. And
they change depths depending on that water flow.
Well, the water flow, sunlight,
mm-hmm.
and that's the two things that does it.
Okay.
Mostly, you know, it's going to be, and that all they're doing is following the bait.
Yeah.
They're going to follow the bait, and they're going to get in their comfort zone. And when it's high and bright, they're going to go down a little bit further. And then when it's overcast or real early in the morning, they'll be up higher chasing those shad then.
And you can always call this phone number, folks, to find out when they're going to be letting water go and making that flow. 334-682-4896. That's the you'll get a recording, and they'll tell you for the next 24 hours what the schedule is there.
Right, they'll give you Jones Bluff and Miller's Ferry, and then it kind of lets you know how much water's going to be dumping in and how much they're going to be taking out, and about how much current you're going to get depending on those two mm-hmm. things, those two factors there.
Bass and catfish still doing good.
Oh, yeah. I thought they were going to be more out in the river, but we still caught a lot of catfish inside trolling, too. But it's time for the, you know, the long line jugs now. It's getting right. And like mm-hmm. I said, because most of the time they're not cutting the water on to around 12 or 1, then they're cutting it off around 8 or 9 at night. And usually I like to throw mine out right before dark, and they'll get a couple of hours of movement then, and then when it goes dead, then you can go pick them up early the next morning, or you can go out there that night and run them a time or two at night. But I like to wait the daylight myself. But it's time for those jugs, too, now.
Yeah, I don't remember what month it was when the last time I was there and threw out some short line jugs early in the morning, and then we went crappie fishing for 2 or 3, 4 hours, came back and had 20-something catfish out of 35 lines. I don't know.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
phenomenal. We were chasing jugs all over the lake.
What's the bait on those jugs usually?
Yeah, we
either shad or skipjack. That's your two best, for over there.
Cut bait, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Can't hardly beat that cut shad. If you can catch some shad, even the frozen shad, you can cut it and do real well on your trot lines like that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, if you want to catch fish on trot lines, the best bait, I think, is live small bream.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This time of year, especially when they're out, they're either on the bed or they're out chasing willow flies, and they're going to be out in some of the along the edges of the riverbank there. That's going to be another food that they key in on, too, this time of year. It's real. And they live a lot longer on your trot lines and your jugs, too.
They do. And one thing I do want to mention, Joe, that if you're doing limb lines or anything like that, you need to check those lines every day. I think it's the law, actually, because turtles get tangled up in them, and if you don't check your lines, your fish are going to die and spoil. So just be responsible and don't put them out there. Don't bait them up unless you can go back and check them on time.
That's right.
All right, Joe, you have a great weekend, buddy.
All right, y'all too. Stay safe.
Thank you, man. All right, folks, let's go up to Lake Martin and check in with our good buddy, Captain Michael Walker. How you doing, Michael?
Doing good. How are you?
Well, we're doing good. How's things in Lake Martin this week?
We're really setting into our summer pattern. Our fish have finally dropped. Pretty much the majority of our fish are out over deeper water now.
Mm-hmm.
Fishing's been good. Crappie fishing, bass, and stripe have all picked up over the last couple of weeks. And should have a good bite over the next couple of weeks for sure.
Well, so when we're talking about striped bass being in the summer pattern and they're really down deep, tell the folks how you fish for those. How you get that bait so far down in there?
I mean, you've got a couple options, whether you're using live bait or trolling. Live bait, you're going to want to use anywhere from 1.5 ounce to 2 ounce waist above a swivel.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will use a glass bead between the swivel and the weight to add a little noise. Other times, people don't. It make a lot of difference with about a 5 to 7 foot leader. And down to your live bait or a trolling, you have several different options, from downriggers to help you get your bait deep, lead core, dip sea divers are all different tools to help you troll with different spreads at different depths and different angles at you.
That's a real advantage of hiring a guide to take you on those striper fishing, because most boats, don't have all of that readily available to them. So, and I know when I went, I learned a lot about the rigging myself.
Yes, sir. I mean, it's a lot of equipment, especially if you haven't got into it, to have the dip sea divers, the downriggers, the lead cores. And in the end, you need a lot of poles. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely easier to come out with us and kind of get an eyes-on approach to see what we're doing and maybe what you can adapt to do.
So what's the average size striper that you guys are hauling in right now?
I mean, right now it's really summer size. Our average is somewhere between about an 8 and 10-pounder, with fish bigger and smaller caught during this time.
That's right. And the crappie are in their summer pattern, too. Post-spawn, they're down a little deeper right now, probably. And Lake Martin's really clear, so they're probably really deep up there.
Yeah, they're definitely out to the 20 and 25, and we're starting to pick some up in that 30-foot brush. Not a lot yet, but another week or two of the weather we're having, and that 30-foot section off the steep vertical drops will be where it's at.
That sounds good. And tell us how to get in touch with you if we need to book one of your trips.
You can give me a call at 205-362-8322, or you can go to our website at lakemartinstripers.com.
All right. Captain Michael Walker, thank you so much.
All right, y'all. Have a good one.